We were talking about this being the year of unleashed power, potential, provision, and harvest. And I've been talking about unleashed harvest. Say unleashed harvest. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I was teaching from this thought, looking for harvest opportunities in everyday life. Looking for harvest opportunities in everyday life. It's Bill Hammond, Apostle Bill Hammond, that wrote a book called The Day of the Saints. I believe that's where we're at right now. We're in the Day of the Saints. And what that really, his writing, what he was really declaring is that there's going to come a time when every believer recognizes their part, their role in the fulfillment of the Great Commission. And so it's no longer relegated to or assigned to the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, or those that have offices or titles in the church. It's everybody. Say everybody. Come on, say everybody. Say me. All of us have the same call in ministry. And I believe that what God's going to begin to do is help us to understand the opportunities we have to share our faith with those that we come in contact with. I want you to know that there is a shift taking place as to how we communicate, though, this gospel. I made this statement, I want to make it again. Harvest opportunities come as we are sensitive to his voice and our surroundings. We must listen for the need. We must listen for the need. Back in the day, evangelistic outreaches were going out and what we called witnessing to people. Witnessing to people. But I want you to know that the greatest witness you and I have is our lives. The greatest witness we have is our lives. There's a song that I listened to years ago. I shared it with Pastor Josh. The song's called All Over You. And did we get it loaded? If we can find that song and pull it up, I want you to hear the words to this song when we get it queued up, because it so fits what should be the reality of our lives as believers in everyday life. Say everyday life. So part of my intention in this teaching is to move us out of these choreographed, organized times of outreach, which we will do some of that. But I want to get you empowered to know that everywhere you go, every day of your life, on your job, in any store, in your community, up and down your street, at the gas station, wherever you find yourself, you want to begin to look for harvest opportunities. Harvest opportunities. It can be as simple as you go to get gas in your car and you see someone struggling to get the pump in their car. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered and said to them, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for the kingdom of God is in your midst." The kingdom of God is in your midst. You see, when we live in the reality that the kingdom of God is everywhere, say everywhere. Come on, shout everywhere. We will then become expectant participants of its manifestation and recipients of its harvest. When we live in that reality, when we embrace that reality, and I'm telling you, there is this shift that God is bringing in his church that's moving us out of this churchy way of thinking to kingdom. There's got to be some folk out there that when you hear us, just it's all over you. Can you tell me what it is? There's something about, it's all over you. It's all over you. It's all over you. I know when I'm near it. It's all over you. What Jesus was helping them understand is this isn't going to happen the way that you think it's going to happen. There is a reteaching. There is a recalibrating now in the body of Christ. Hear me now. There is a recalibrating that's happening. Some will get it. Not everyone's going to get it. But some will get this. And that is, every believer has the ministry of reconciliation. Every believer has the ministry of reconciliation. Once you come into the kingdom, you enter into the ranks of those who are now called to advance the kingdom. You just enter right into it. This isn't a maybe you want to or maybe you don't. This assignment is for all of us. So in 2 Corinthians 5:17-21, it says this: therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away and new things come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Goes on and says this, namely that, and this is the message. See, this is the good news. And I want to talk about this in a minute, because see, if we're going to effectively share the gospel, it's got to be good news, y'all. You understand that gospel means good news, okay? And somewhere we got this thing flipped where what we're telling people, it ain't good, at least not at first. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And it says, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So let me go back here again. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. That's the good news. That's the good news. No matter what you've done in your life, God is not holding that against you now. That's the good news. The power of love. The power of love moves past all of those things. Right to your heart, right to my heart. God was in Christ. I like that image that I have in my spirit. That when Adam fell, when Adam chose to disobey God, it was an intentional act. God made a choice, because once they disobeyed and they ate of the tree of good and evil, now a conscience was awakened that they would have to deal with, that we're still dealing with today. But in that, then God had to make a decision. I mean, why did God send them out of the garden? Why did God send them out of the garden? To make that division between him and them. God sent them out of the garden. Their act of disobedience separated them from God. And God loved them so much that he could not stand to let them stay in that condition. And he knew if they ate of the tree of life, they would be eternally in that. It was the love. It was God's love that said, I can't let you stay here. I can't let you live here any longer, because you've already shown me by your disobedience. And I don't want to run the risk of losing you because you eat off of this other tree. And so I'm going to, my love compels me. And he says, so I'm going to set you outside of the garden now. But I'm going to come get you. I'm going to come get you myself. Mark time. It says here, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. It was God incarnate. in the person of Jesus Christ. He said, I told you that I'd come for you. And he's still coming for us. He's still coming for you. He's still coming for me. He's still coming for every person on the planet. When my father passed away at his homegoing service, my message was pursued by love, captured by grace. Because I watched my father run from God all his life. But God has a way of pulling everything in by his grace. It's in Ephesians 2 and 1 through 10. It says, and we and you were dead in your trespasses and sin, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. See, what Adam did, it put something inside of all of us. That not surrendered, yielded to God, can produce hazardous results. It says, among them, we were two, meaning us also, all formerly living in the lust of the flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest, meaning we were all lumped in to the same thing. But God, there you go, but God. That changes it, everything. But God, that gives you opportunity. That opens a door right there. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, because of his great love, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. No one can take credit. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. The good news: God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, not counting our trespasses against us. It goes on and says this: therefore, we now, you and I, are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us now. We beg on your behalf, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. That's what this whole thing is about. And God himself wrapped himself in humanity, came to earth to fix this thing in the person of Jesus Christ. It says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The moment you and I receive Christ, we take on the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. What it really means is, the moment you receive Christ, you now come back into right standing with him. And you and I have the responsibility to live the life that keeps us in right standing. I'm not talking about saved now. I'm not talking about you got to keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it to stay saved. I'm talking about right standing, right relationship. Right standing, right relationship. Say right standing. Say right relationship. Right standing, right relationship. And anytime it gets out of sorts, that's when you and I have the blessing of the blood of Christ. And the gift of repentance, the mercy of God, the grace of God working in our lives that lines us back up, that gets us back in place, and now we're back in step with him. Right alignment, right standing. The gospel of the kingdom. I'm trying to hurry here, but you know, we got to get this word in, y'all. I need to get this word in. So just give me 5 more minutes. How many of y'all give me 5? 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30. Okay, I'm good. I can do it in 30. The gospel of the kingdom is not a sin-conscious message. The gospel of the kingdom is not a sin-conscious message. Now, this is where we've kind of got off with it. Do you recognize that it is only the work of the Holy Spirit that can convict anyone of sin? You realize that, don't you? It is only the work of the Holy Spirit. Anything else is manipulation. And when you look in the scriptures concerning manipulation, witchcraft. It starts sending us, and that's why in many of our traditional apostolic Pentecostal churches, and God bless all the saints, I'm not trying to slam on any, but when you begin to try to legalize this and tell people how to do it, and you start to focus more on the sin conscious, then, listen to me now, then the love, mercy, and grace of the redemptive work of Christ, it's imbalanced now. It becomes imbalanced. The gospel of the kingdom is not a sin-conscious message. It is a love, mercy, and grace message of redemption and reconciliation that's realized through the redeeming, redemptive work of Calvary. And so we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. We've been given the word. This word. Okay? Not a word, but this word. We've been given this word. But even in the sharing of this word, and one of the things that I've been praying about and talking to the Holy Spirit about, and I've had Pastor Deborah working on a couple of different things for us as we begin to put things, tools together to begin to go out and share. And I want to tell you this, that I'm very familiar with the scriptures that we can normally go to, the traditional evangelistic scriptures. Now, let me just kind of read through those so that you understand. I do believe in all the word. I believe all the word is true. But I'm talking about a kingdom message that doesn't run people off, make them feel so bad that they can't enter in. Because we're pointing to how bad they are. We're pointing to how tore up they are. We're pointing, and see, you can't convict, condemn, or embarrass somebody into the kingdom. We can't do that, y'all. The compelling message must be the power of a God who loves relentlessly. I watched love tackle my daddy. I watched love wrestle him to the ground. I watched love put him in the hospital. And love put me on a plane to get to that hospital to minister salvation to him. And love gave him 2 more years of life to get his affairs in order. And my daddy would begin to talk to me about as he got more and more tired, because he was diagnosed with congestive heart failure. As he got more and more tired, he said, one time I was with him, he said, you know, son, I had a dream. And I was on one side of the river. And mom and dad were on the other side of the river. And they were waving me over. I said, God. It was love preparing him. Pursued by love, captured by grace. That's all of our stories. That's all of our stories. None of us came out of the womb ready to be saved. But we were pursued by love. That unrelenting, that stubborn love. And if we can somehow begin to allow the Holy Spirit to pull us into this place of kingdom, I'm talking about a mentality that helps you to know everywhere you go, the kingdom is there because you're there. You're the portal. You're the door to the kingdom being manifested. And it's out of that mindset that people will just begin to say, there's just something about you. There's just something about you. They don't know the song all over you, you know. But like the song says, though you never said a word, the Father, the Son, the Spirit, it's all over you. Compassion like that isn't learned. It's got me asking questions in my mind. If new life is possible, I want to leave my old ways behind. Can you imagine that just having a conversation with someone and the love of God, the power of the love of God oozing out of you that causes them to say, hey, wait, something's happening right here. Have you ever, I'm talking to you now, have you ever been in a conversation when you knew it wasn't you talking? Because you're getting blessed by what you're saying too, what you're hearing. That's when the Holy Spirit takes over. But we got to give him something to work with. So let me wrap this up for now. So hear me when I say this. The reality of the plight of man outside of the redemptive work of Christ is a reality. It's in Romans 2:23 that says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Check. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Check. Romans 5:8, but God commandeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Check. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Check. That is the word. Romans 10:9-10, most of us know that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Now, I don't know, how many of you memorized that? How many of you memorized it? You can just say it. But here's our challenge and our dilemma. And I really am done for now. The culture in which we live today has become so desensitized, so hardened concerning sin, that to try to go down that road, you hit a wall, except that it is absolutely Holy Spirit that's leading you there. Now, some people will need to hear it that way. Some people. But I want to share this with you. We're beginning to frame this for us. This is the single most important truth that you can know. God's love for you is eternal, and his love continually draws you to him. That tug that you feel, that discontent that you feel, that's love drawing you. That anxiousness you feel, that's God stirring in your heart. That's love doing that. Because God loves you so, he sent his son to make a way for you to be in relationship with him, no matter what you've done. Now, this is where we help people understand how we ended up in this place. Because you see, again, In our desire to try to share this message, somehow we've shared it in a way that for many people the message is, if I don't turn to God, he's going to send me to hell. Now you do know that's not true. If you are not born again, you unredeemed, that's your destination. God's not sending you there. He made a way so you don't have to go there. Is this helping anybody to understand? See, because then when you can help people understand, okay, see, the plight that we're in goes back to Adam. And Adam messed up. He was disobedient. But God's love was so great towards him that he wouldn't let him stay in the garden, because if he ate of the tree of life, it was over. So he said, I'm going to have to put you outside of the garden, but in so many couple thousand years or whatever, I'm coming to get you myself. And I'm going to set this thing straight. And then everybody who believes on my son will now be able to take that detour. And what I'm offering to you today is that detour. There's only one. J-E-S-U-S. There's only one detour. But if you stay on the road you're on, it isn't God sending you there. You got to take that up with Adam. The first Adam. Because God loves you so, he sent his son to make a way for you to be in relationship with him no matter what you've done. Jesus Christ is the way, and by faith in him, you can have new life. Because the truth of the matter is, outside of you and I accepting Christ and the redemptive work of Calvary, we are dead men walking. Everybody. We're dead men walking. God has purpose and destiny for you. God invites you into his kingdom today to live the life he has always intended for you. It begins by receiving the gift of salvation, Jesus Christ. That's kingdom. That's kingdom. That's kingdom. That's kingdom. This brings you, through Christ, you come into his kingdom. Through Christ, you come into his kingdom, and heaven is your home. And somehow, I believe God's going to help us to be able to shift our message to make it more relevant. Because for most people, talking about heaven isn't going to get it done. Not now. Because folks are so far removed from that reality. And so my prayer that in this season of unleashed harvest, that you and I will begin to walk in the reality of the kingdom in such a way that people will begin to ask you about you. There's just something about you. There's just something about you. What do you do? Now they're just trying to, you know, kind of get a feel, but what they see is Christ in you. And the Holy Spirit will give you the way to communicate that you, while here on earth, reside in the kingdom of God. And that same residence is available to the person you're talking to who may not know God through Jesus. That's all I got. Would you thank the Lord for his word? Amen. Come on, would you thank the Lord?